Good morning. Today's daf in Yuma's Beis. We begin the new Masechta. Let's start off with just a general introduction to the Masechta, very brief, and then we'll do today's daf. The Masechta Yuma is dedicated to the Yom HaKippurim, obviously, in Seder Moed. So we're going to go through all the Moados. We're going to go through every one of the Yantas that occur over the course of the year, including the Yantas Derabanan Purim. That's the Masechta called Megillah. There is no Masechta dedicated to Hanukkah, but on another occasion I'll discuss it and tell you why it is that I don't know why there's no Masechta dedicated to Hanukkah. There's a lot of interesting theories out there, but there's a Masechta almost for every one of the Moados. And there's also no Masechta for Shavuos as well, but kind of understood Shavuos. There are no mitzvahs on Shavuos, so therefore there's no Masechta for Shavuos. It just kind of falls under the general category of Yontif. But meanwhile, the next Masechta here in Seder Moed is going to be Yuma, which is dedicated to Yom HaKippurim. Obviously, it's given a one-word name, Yuma, the day, and so there is no other Yontif. We're going to see this in the course of today's daf. There is no other Yontif that's just simply called the day. Rosh Hashanah is a one-day affair, and Shavuos is a one-day affair, Minatorah. But as far as being the day, so we know that the most auspicious day of the year is Yom HaKippurim, and so therefore the Masechta can get away with just calling the Masechta Yuma. Okay, in terms of the Seder and Moed, now it comes up now, so that's a little bit strange, meaning first we did Shabbos, we did Erevin, Shkalim, you can't ask me why we did Shkalim, meaning, aside from the fact that there's no Bavli, but what does Shkalim really have to do with the Moados? Not particularly a whole lot, but nevertheless, Shkalim found its way into Seder Moed, and then we come across Yuma, so it doesn't follow any particular Seder. I'm sorry, I skipped Pesachim, yeah, I did. So we did Shabbos, we did Erevin, we did Pesachim, then we did Shkalim, and now we're doing Yuma. So it doesn't seem to be following any particular order, meaning if we're following the Moados as the Torah records, so yes, it's true that Pesach is the first Yontif of the year. As far as Regalim is concerned, Pesach is number one, but then if Pesach is number one, so then number two would be Sukkos. Number two would be Shavuos, right? We are counting. Number two would be Shavuos, and number three would be Sukkos. And if we're it's not following the order of the year. That's the easy way to say it, and the succinct way to say it. So meanwhile, the next Masechta we're doing over here in Moed is going to be Yuma. So why should that be? So there are a lot of lovely explanations, and you probably heard me say this before, but I'm going to give you the correct explanation. And it's really simple, and Rabbi Kornfeld taught this to me years ago, and it's absolutely correct. And that is, as far as the orders of the Masechtas is concerned, it's all a function of the number of Prakim. In every one of the Siddurim and Shas, so you're going to find that the larger Prakim go in the front, and the smallest Prakim go at the end of every Seder. And it's true with every Seder and Shas. So that means to say Shabbos has 24 Prakim, Erevin has 10 Prakim, Pesachim has 10 Prakim, Shkalim has 8, Yuma has 8, and you'll see as we continue down the Masechtas here, we're going to keep going to smaller and smaller Masechtas vis-a-vis Prakim. And do that with every Seder. For Nezikim, by the way, in order for this to work, you have to know that Baba Kamba, Baba Mitzvah, and Baba Bas were all one large Masechta of 30 Prakim at one point in time. And then it was broken up into somewhat more bite-sized pieces. Nevertheless, that was 30 Prakim. And then the next one is Sanhedrin. 11 Prakim. Okay, you get the basic idea. So Yuma's got 8 Prakim. So it's going to be after Shkalim. I mean, Yuma Shkalim is a tie. So of 8 Prakim. And then the next Masechta after this is going to be Sukkah, which is 5 Prakim. Okay, and et cetera, et cetera. So that's the I know it's not a, you know, it's not inspirational, but that's the reason why Yuma is next in the in Seder Moed. Good. So being that that's the case, so now just in terms of a general introduction to Masechta Yuma, so it talks about Yom HaKippurim. Most of it's dedicated to the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Of the 8 Prakim of Masechta Yuma, 7 of the 8 Prakim are dedicated to the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. We are going to be detailing, starting with already 7 days in preparation of Yom HaKippurim, which is today's daf and tomorrow's daf, we are going to be detailing how the Avodah is done in the Beis HaMikdash. So as far as Lamais is concerned, so it's really a lot of Kachim, and it's a lot of Beis HaMikdash, and it doesn't even relate to all the Kohanim, it just relates to the Kohen Gadol, right? One of the first Rashis we're going to be seeing in today's Daf. And Achinami, there's not a lot of Halacha coming up in the first 7 Prakim, but you get to the 8th Perek, and the 8th Perek talks about the Inuyim. So that is where we're going to be discussing the Halacha vis-a-vis Yom Kippur as we know it. But short of that, the rest of it is not halach lamaisa. Obviously, there are halach lamaisa points coming out of the Masechta, but that's it. In other words, the eighth parak is really where it's Yom Kippurim as we know it, because that deals with all, that details all the inuyim, right? You could see right as a cheat in terms of seeing that there's not much halacha coming out of the first seven prakim of the Masechta. So you go to the Rishonim, like let's say for example you go to the Rush. So the Rush for the first seven prakim of the Masechta. So again, right, a tidbit here, a tidbit there in terms of halacha, but there's one page of Rush, right, front and back, in terms of the first seven prakim. And then when you get to the eighth parak, so the Rush now, right, that's the halacha as you and I know it. Okay, so we're really going to know after the next couple of months together is it's 88 dapim in total. So in Daf Yomi terminology, it'll take us about 3 months to get through. So by about a couple months from now, so we're going to really know well the details of the Avodas Yom Kippurim for when the Beis HaMikdash is built, b'mhera b'yameinu. So with that stated, let's start with the Mishnah. So the Mishnah over here talks about the Kohen Gadol's preparation of Yom Kippurim. As we're going to see over the course of this Masechta, all the Avodah of Yom Kippurim is done by the Kohen Gadol. Even Avodah that's generally done by Stam, a regular Kohen. Nevertheless, Kohen Gadol is going to be doing all the Avodah of Yom Kippurim. And so the Kohen Gadol needs Hachana, needs preparation for Yom Kippurim. And so the Mishnah says it's formal. It's not just the Kohen Gadol's got to compose himself and get ready for a very big day, but rather he needs to be sequestered. The Kohen Gadol is going to be sequestered 7 days prior to Yom Kippurim. Where are you going to find this in the Torah? So the answer is you're not going to find this in the Torah. We're going to be spending time this morning, tomorrow, going over Drashas Chazal in terms of how we know this information. But the Kohen Gadol sequestered for 7 days. The Mishnah tells us, Shivas Yamim Kodim Yom Kippurim Afrishin. Kohen Gadol, Mi Beis Olilishkas Parhedrin. 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, so the Kohen Gadol is going to be sequestered, and he's going to be taken out of his house, he's going to be taken into Lishkas Parhedrin. We're going to be detailing later in the Masechta exactly where is Lishkas Parhedrin, but for the time being, we could just simply say that it's Bekodesh, it's somewhere in the Azara, and I'll show you Tosfos in just a moment in terms of helping us identify it a little bit better. U'mesaknal Kohen Achir Tachtav, Shema Yerea Bopsol. Now, Kohen Gadol is obviously instrumental for Yom Kippurim. All the avodah of Yom Kippur is going to be done with the Kohen Gadol. So, Kohen Gadol is human, fallible, and could very well be that he's just simply as prepared as he is for Yom Kippur. Could be that something's going to happen that's going to disqualify him from doing the avodah of Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah says, so what we'll have is that we'll have a person who's there basically warming up in the bullpen. In the event that something happens to the Kohen Gadol, so somebody will be there to stand in if necessary. Rav Yehuda Omer Afisha Acheres Mesaknin Lo Shema Tamus Ishto. So Rav Yehuda says, you know what? As a precaution, I think what we should do is we should also have another wife in the waiting. So what may end up happening is his wife may die, and that's no good. I'm saying outside of the obvious general point, but in terms of the Avodas Yom Kippurim, that's no good. Shenemer v'chiper ba'ado v'ad beiso. So we know that as part of the Avodas Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol himself is going to be bringing a par, which is going to be a kapar for himself. And the Torah says that's v'chiper ba'ado, it's going to be a kapar for him, uva'ad beiso, and it's for his family. But beiso, the Mishnah tells us, beiso zuishto, that's a reference to his wife. And so therefore, as part of the kapar of Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol needs to be married. It's critical that the Kohen Gadol is married, and so therefore Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if we're going to have a stand-in Kohen Gadol, so in the event that it still happens to the Kohen Gadol himself, so we also need a stand-in for his wife as well, meaning his wife may die. So Amar Lo, in Kain in Ladavrasov. So they say to Rabbi Yehuda, at this point in time, there's no end, meaning once you open up yourself to the concern that his wife is going to die, so why don't you put in a second wife, a third wife? In other words, if death is a concern of yours, so then it will be an endless loop, and there will be no end to it. Okay, so the Chachamim obviously are dismissive of this idea that we set aside an extra wife. The Chachamim are very comfortable with the idea of putting in another Kohen stand-in, but over there, that's not a concern of death. That's just a concern of psul. Something's going to happen to the Kohen, and all he needs to do is become a Balkari, and that's it. He can't do the Avodas Yom Kippurim. So for that there's a real possibility. But as far as death is concerned, the Chachamim would say to Rabbi Yehuda, we're not concerned that somebody's going to die. Okay. Couple things over here before we start with the Gemara. Number one, the first Rashi, critical Rashi over here, Shivas Yamim, Kodim Yom HaKippur, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol, Shekol Avodas Yom HaKippurim, Einak Shera Elabo. So every Avodah in Yom Kippur, we're going to see this over the course of this Masechta, right? We're going to go from the very beginning of the morning of Yom Kippur, and Rashi writes over here that every single Avodah that done that day, even the Tamid, even Avodahs that are not necessary on any other day of the year, not necessary to have a Kohen Gadol do it. You'll have Stam, the Kohanim, do it. And there's a whole rotation of Kohanim doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. But on Yom Kippur, every Avodah of Yom Kippur is done by the Kohen, and can only be done by the Kohen, and so therefore that's why he's instrumental. Rashi connects us to the idea of Hafrasha, that he needs to be sequestered for 7 days. Okay, the Tosfos over here, second Tosfos on the Amud, is bothered because over here the Chachamim say that, look, we're not worried about death, and we're not gonna set up another wife for him, meaning his wife is not gonna die, right? Bederech HaTeva, his wife is not gonna die for Yom Kippur. So it happens to be that Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Yavamah. The Gemara in Yavamah says, you know, we are Choshish Lamisa. It's a Stam Mishnah. It's a complicated sugya over there in Yavamos. But we are Choshish Lamisa. And our Gemara over here, according to the Chachamim, which is the accepted approach, is not Choshish Lamisa. So Tosfos is bothered because our Mishnah over here in Yuma, the first Mishnah in Yuma, does not seem to be going in accordance with the with that Mishnah over there in Yavamos. Tosfos says, it's one of a couple of suggestions, but the first suggestion of Tosfos says that Mikomakom, you see the second Tosfos, drop down about 8 lines. Mikomakom, sorry. So, Mikomakom lemisa lezman muad ki hacha lo havan lemechash elamishum maila de kapar chayshin lezman muad im keinechash afil letarte vitlas. So Tosfos says over here, look, there's choshish lemisa and then there's choshish lemisa. Meaning, as far as being concerned that someone's going to die, so if we're talking about over an extended period of time, so then yeah, nachinami. Meaning, that's unfortunately the fate of every one of us. And so therefore, you're going to be choshish if somebody is going to die. So if you're talking about a big window of time, so then yeah, so you're choshish lamisa. And you take a look at the Gemara in Yavamos over there, which Tosfos is referencing, you'll see that it's talking about over an extended period of time. But if we're talking about within one day, which of course Yom Kippur is one day, so then what are you worried about? That she's going to die over the course of Yom Kippur over one day? That's man muat. Tosfos says under those circumstances, we're not choshish lamisa. So contextually in our Gemara over here, Tosfos writes that the Chachamim are not choshish lamisa because we're only talking about over the course of one day. Good. So in our Mishnah, we talked about this idea of being sequestered for 7 days. Kohen Gadol needs to, as part of the Avodas Yom Kippurim, needs the Hachana to be taken out of his house, put into the Lishkas Parhedrin for 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. Where is this coming from? So that's a great question, and hold that question, because obviously it's a critical question in terms of where's the source of this halacha. But before addressing that question, the Gemara notes that this is not the only time that a Kohen Gadol is going to be sequestered. Where else is a Kohen going to be sequestered? So it's by the Avodah Parah Aduma. Now again, something that we're unfamiliar with, right? We haven't had a Parah Aduma in some time now. It's been a minute since we had a Parah Aduma. And even when there was Parah Aduma, the Hachana, the preparation, the Parah Aduma, where you're going to take a red cow and you're going to shecht and you're going to burn it outside the Beis HaMikdash, right? We're going to go, actually today, we're going to cover some of the Avodah regarding the Parah Aduma. So there's only been 10 historically. So this is a rare event. And we just learned in Shkalim, by the way, that Shimon HaTzadik, Mishayar Lishka in the Knesset HaGedola, so he actually prepared 2 Parah Adumas in his lifetime. That's the beginning of Bayis Sheni. But anyway, so there's only been 10 of them, but so now we're going to learn together that when the Kohen is ready to prepare the Parah Aduma, he's also going to be sequestered 7 days prior to the shechting of the Parah Aduma. So Tanan Hasam, how do we know that's the Mishnah Parah? So the Mishnah is the Parah, which are located in Seder Taharos. So it details all the Avodah of Paraduma. I call it an Avodah, by the way. You understand it's not a carbon, right? In just a moment, we're gonna compare it to a carbon chattis. The Torah compares it to a carbon chattis, but it's not an Avodah. We're not shechting it in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a quasi-Avodah. But nevertheless, the Mishnah Parah tells us the following. Tanan Hasam, Shivas Yamim Kodim Srefas Apara. So 7 days prior to the burning of the Paraduma, Hayum Afrishin, Kohen Hasarifas Apara, Mi Beis Go Lishka Shal Pnei Habira, Tzafona Mizracha. So the Mishnah Parah tells us that the Kohen Gadol is going to be sequestered. He's going to be sequestered 7 days, and he's going to be placed in a lishka, in a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, where's that chamber going to be located? So actually, the Mishnah over here gives us very specific location in terms of where the Kohen Gadol is going to go. He's going to go to the to one of the chambers. Now, it's Al Pnei HaBira. Hold that phrase for just a moment. We're going to come back, and we're going to explain what that is. And it's Tzfon HaMizracha. He's going to be somewhere in the northeast. So in the Azara, there are chambers all around the Azara. Remember the Mishnah that we did back in Tamid, back in Midos, where we went through all the chambers. So there's a chamber in the northeast of the Azara, and that's where the Kohen's going to go for 7 days. V'lishkas Beis HaEven Haisa Nikreis, and it was called the Lishkas Beis HaEven. V'lama Nikra Shema Lishkas Beis HaEven. Shekol Maaseh B'Kli Galalim V'Kli Avanim U'V'Kli Adama. Now the reason why it's called Lishkas Beis HaEven is because when all the kelim are used in that, the kelim there are earthenware. But just to be clear, earthenware, I mean it in the most literal sense, meaning it's made of the earth. In other words, it's not earthenware like you and I know, where it's like pottery, where you shape it and you bake it in an oven. No, that's Kli Cheres. And Kli Cheres, as we know, is Mekabel Tumah, susceptible to Tumah. But when the Kohen is there in the Lishka 7 days in anticipation of preparing the Paraduma, so he's going to be working with earthware, not earthenware. In other words, it's going to be kalim that really literally just come from the ground. Also Klei Galalim, which is earthenware, which is made out of the dung of an animal. Doesn't sound particularly appetizing, but it's dried up and it's turned into kalim as well. And why? Because all these types of kalim are impervious to tuma. Klei Galalim, Klei Avanim, Klei Adama. So all these things are natural and not processed, and therefore are not mekabel tuma. And we want to create the most tuma free environment for this Kohen who's sequestered for 7 days in anticipation of the Paraduma. So my taima. Now over here we're going to get a short version of this discussion. So that is Kevin the Tful Yom Kasher Bepara, because we know that a Tful Yom is kasher to prepare the Paraduma. A Tful Yom, somebody who was Tamei, went and toveled in the mikvah, has yet to experience Harav Shemesh, the sun setting. So such an individual is what's called in Halacha Tful Yom. He still has residual Tuma. A Kohen, for example, who went to the mikvah but hasn't experienced Harav Shemesh, can't eat Truma. So he still has residual Tuma. So, but nevertheless, even though he has residual Tuma, he can do the Paraduma. In fact, not only that, but we're going to go one step further. We're going to make sure that our Kohen, who's preparing the Paraduma, he is going to be a Tful Yom, which means Mitamim, and here we're going to quote another Mishnah in Parah, did not. Mitamim ayu akonas orfas aparo matbilan osalotim liban shet sedukim. Shayu omrim b'morave shemesh haisonasis. You know what we would do with a Kohen who's preparing the Paraduma? We would actually make him a Tful Yom. Now that's really strange, but the Mishnah tells us why we're going to do this. Because it happens to be that the Tzedukim are of the opinion that in order to prepare the Paraduma, so the Kohen has to be absolutely Tumah free. Meaning cannot be in the state of Tvil Yom. It's based on how they read the Psukim. The Tzedukim rejected the Torah Shabbat Peh, so therefore their simple reading of the Psukim in Parshas Chukas is that the Parah is going to be prepared, but only by Kohen, who is totally Tumah free. Meanwhile, we who have a Misorah and we who have a Torah Shabbat Peh, so we're of the understanding with our Misorah that the Kohen does not have to be Tumah free. The Kohen could be in a state of being a Tvil Yom. And just to make sure that the Tzedukim know, we're going to educate them, or just simply demonstrate to them, right? They may not be ready for education, but demonstrate to them that this is not the accepted halacha. So we're going to go and we're going to be Mitame the Kohen who's preparing the Paraduma. Now, that's a bold move, right? Just lahotzi miliban shel tzedukim, just to show the tzedukim that they're wrong. Now, that's a really bold move. So basically what the Chachamim did is counterbalance. Meaning, being that we're going to be Matami the Kohen, have him tov on the mikvah, be in that state of Tvil Yom, so we're basically introducing Tumah in the process of Paraduma. So what the Chachamim did is that they wanted to create a radical environment of Tahara surrounding everything else. When we get to the second parak of Sukkah, so we're going to discuss this in much greater detail. We're going to be quoting more of the Mishnayos and Parah in terms of what they would do to be in a state of Tahara for the preparation of the Paraduma. It was a counterbalance measure, in order, because we know that we're going to be Metame the Kohen preparing the Paraduma, and so there's a lot of counterbalance. Over here, we're just getting a small little snippet, and the idea over here is that when he's sequestered for 7 days, all the kelim that are used are going to be kelim that are impervious to Tumah. Okay, so Takinra la Rabbanan, I should have read this. This is the end of the point. Takinra Rabbanan, Kli Galalim, Kli Avanim, Kli Adama, Delo Likbalu Tumah Kihech, Delo Lizalzo Ba. So fine. So and that's why we have this state of a Tumah-free environment for this Kohen, since we're introducing Tumah into the process. So therefore, we're going to go on the other side and be really extreme in terms of making sure that he's in a totally Tumah-free environment. Okay, we don't want people to be mezalzel by the paraduma, right? Once people see that we're mitami the Kohen involved in the paraduma, they're going to say, Tumah's not such a big deal. No, Tumah is a big deal. The reason why we're being mitami is the hotzil mi liba and shul tzedukim, just to show that the tzedukim are wrong. But once we're doing that, so we're going to go be extraordinarily extreme. Now, in terms of extreme measures, in terms of making sure that the paraduma is done in a state of tahara, so we've only scratched the surface over here in the beginning of Yuma. When we get to Sukkah in the second parak, so we're going to be talking about extraordinarily extreme measures. So wait till we get to Sukkah, and we'll detail it more in terms of what's done to make sure that it was a tahara-free environment. Sorry, it was a tumah-free environment. Okay. Now, as far as the Kohen being sequestered for paraduma, so where does he go? So we just saw the Mishnah in Parah, and it says that he went to a chamber somewhere in the northeast. So a chamber somewhere in the northeast. Maishnat Tzfona Mizracha. So why there? So Kevin Dechatzasi Vechatzas Tuna Tzfona. So there's a couple of reasons, meaning it's north and it's east. So first let's detail the north. Why north? Because the Paraduma is called Dechatzas by the Torah. Now again, to be clear, it's not a Karban Chatzas. Karban Chatzas is Shechted in the Azara. The Paraduma is not Shechted in the Azara. The Paraduma is going to be Shechted outside of the Azara. It's on Har Zesim and Har Mishcha, where the Paraduma is going to be Shechted. It happens to be facing the Azara and the entrance into the Heichal, but it's way outside of the Azara. It's not a Karban. Now, if you call it a Karban, so do you know what that is? You know what it's called? When you Shech something outside the Beis HaMikdash and it's a Karban? It's called Shechut Echutz. So the Paraduma is not a Karban. Yet the Torah calls it a chatas. It's a comparison of the Torah. It's like a chatas. The word chatas means to purify. And in that regard, the paraduma purifies. But it's not a carbon chatas. But since the Torah calls it a carbon chatas, so therefore, what do we know about a carbon chatas is kachay kadashim. Kachay kadashim are shechted b'tzafon in the north. So therefore, the chamber that the Kohen is sitting in for 7 days prior to the paraduma is going to be the north. Because what he's going to do in his mind is he's going to create associations. Hey, paraduma is like a chatas, and chatas is in the north, and that's why I'm in the north. Okay, that explains north. Now, what about east? So you probably figured it out already. Yeah, he's on the northeast because east is where the paraduma is going to be shechted, east of the Beis HaMikdash. Next point of the Gemara. Uksib bal nochich panei olam moed. So you're going to be, the Kohen who's shechting the paraduma is going to be east of the Beis HaMikdash. On Har Ezesim. Har Ezesim is just to the east of the Beis HaMikdash. And so now, north Chatas, east Paraduma, where it's Shechted, and that's why the Kohen Gadol is there. So, Takino Le Rabban, Lishkat Tzfona Mizrach, is Kehech Dela Havila Hekera. So that the Kohen will have a constant reminder. And so now, for those 7 days, as he's sitting in the northeast, so the Hachana that he has for those 7 days is going to be Paraduma, and the location is going to help him focus on the fact that he's ready to prepare the paraduma. Okay. Also, the Mishnah Parah told us that it was al panei abira. What does that mean? So, my bira, I'm a rabba babrachanam, Rav Yochanan, makam hayo bahar abayis, ubir shmo. So, Rav Yochanan says it happens to be referring to a specific area of bahar abayis. And that specific area is called bira. That's Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish amar kol hamikdash kulo kari bira. Sorry, kol hamikdash kulo kari bira. No. The entire area of the Beis HaMikdash is described as the Bira. Shenemar Abira Asher Hachinosi. David HaMelech, when making the purchase of the area of the Makom HaMikdash, so in Divrei HaYamim, it's described as a Bira. The entire area. So Machlokas Amaraim, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, in terms of what Bira is making reference to, either a specific place within Har HaBayis, although we're not given any more details, we don't know exactly where that is according to Rav Yochanan, or, according to Reish Lakish, Bir just simply means the entire area of the Mikdash. Okay, Adkan. So, that ends our first part of today's daf. Really, it's just a setup. Meaning, so what have we learned so far in today's daf? There are two times that a Kohen's going to get sequestered. The one time is prior to Yom Kippur. So, right, and that's annual. So, Kohen is now going to be sequestered for 7 days prior to Yom Kippurim as part of the Hachana of Yom Kippurim. That's Shivas Yomim Kodim Yom Kippurim. That's the first Mishnah here in our Masechta. And there's going to be now a second time. And that is in preparation of the Paraduma. The Kohen is going to be shechting the Paraduma, so he's also going to be sequestered for 7 days. And the only thing that we noted in terms of differences is where they're going to be sequestered. So the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippurim is going to be sequestered in what's called Lishkas Parhedrin. The Kohen who's going to be shechting the Paraduma is going to be sequestered somewhere in the northeast of the Azara. And we explained why specifically the northeast. What's left to be explained, which is the remainder of today's daf, is why. Meaning, where do we find in the Torah that you're sequestered for 7 days for Yom Kippur? The answer is we don't have a place in the Torah. And where do we find in the Torah that the Kohen who's going to prepare the Paraduma is sequestered for 7 days? And once again, the answer is there is no place in the Torah. So it's going to come via drasha, meaning it's part of the Mesorah, it's part of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. But part of the Torah Sheba'al Peh is we have drashas. So that's the remainder of today's daf. We're going to see, Minah Hanimili, where does this come from? In fact, that's the next question, the Gemara, Minah Hanimili. Tosfos over here, before we start with the next part of the Gemara, second to last Tosfos in the Amud. So it says, look, so now we have these two sequesterings in Halacha, one for Yom Kippur and the other one for Paraduma. So why not just designate one area, meaning the sequestering area? So Umayshnat Tzfonim Mizrach V'im Tomar, second to last Tosfos. Amaylo Yamafrishin Nami Kol Gadol Lifnei Yom Kippurim Lelishka Zusha Apnei Abira. Look, this is an area of sequestering for the Kohen of the Paraduma. So why not have the Kohen Gadol doing the Avodah Yom Kippur? So why not go to the same area and be sequestered in the same area? So Tosfos gives two answers. I'll focus on the second answer of Tosfos this morning. Inami. So skip second to last line of Tosfos. Inami Yeshlam Yeshim to Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim Prishaso LeKedusha Shekol Avodah So Lifnim. V'lifnai v'lifnim, hayumafrishno so, lishkas parhedrin, shebenuya b'kodesh. So Tosfos over here writes that, look, as far as the Kohen Gadol preparing for Yom Kippur, so where's his hachana? Where's his preparation? So his preparation is going to be for doing the avoda. Now, of course, as we know, and it's going to be this mesechta, the avoda is done b'kodesh. He's going to be in the heichal. Furthermore, he's going to be b'kodesh hakadashim. So his entire avoda is going to be p'nima. So therefore, again, just for the Hachana purposes, so he's going to be in a Lishka that is Panima. So the Lishka is Parhedrin. We haven't identified where it is yet, and that's coming up, not today's daf. But meanwhile, what we could say right now is that it is Benuya B'Kodesh. It's in the Kodesh. It's actually in the Azara itself. And so therefore, that's the Hachana that he needs for Yom Kippurim, as all the Avodah Yom Kippurim is going to be Panima. Aval Parash Inasis Michutz Bahara Mishcha. So, but as opposed to the Paraduma, which again, it shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash. So, Prishas Lishka Sha'al Pnei Abira, Shechutz La'azara. But as far as the Kohen is going to be doing the Paraduma, that's Chutz. That's, again, it's not a carbon. It's quasi-carbon, but it's not a carbon. So we want the Kohen who's going to be shechting the Paraduma, his Hachana is going to be in a Lishka that is outside of the Azara. So Tosfos over here points out that the Hachana of 7 days for Yom Kippur is going to be in a Makom Kodesh in the Azara, because the Avodah Yom Kippurim is Bakodesh, as opposed to the Paraduma, that since it's shechted Bachutz, so therefore the chamber that the Kohen's going to be is going to be in a chamber that is that's contiguous to the Azara, but just outside of the Azara. I'm a little bit curious in terms of, in the second answer, the Kohen Gadol is going to sleep for those 7 days, I assume, right? In other words, the night of Yom Kippur, so he's up the whole night. Okay, well, that's coming up later in the Masechta. But for those 7 days, he's going to sleep, assuming that he's sequestered in this room for all 7 days. And as we just learned in Tosfos, it's Bakodesh. So what is he? He's lying down. He's right. You're not allowed to sleep. You're not allowed to sit in the Azara. Okay, just not sure exactly how that works, but all right. We're moving along. Minahani Mili. Okay, so we are now in the Gemara on Yuma Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and we're a little bit more than halfway down on the Amud, 2/3 of the way down. And now the question that's going to cover the remainder of today's Daf, and that is, how do I know? Where do we see? Where is it alluded to? Because again, as we pointed out, it's not Beferish. But But where does it allude to? Where, what ramazim do we have? What drushes do we have that tells us that the Kohen who's going to be doing the Avodas Yom Kippurim is sequestered for 7 days? And where's the source that says that the Kohen doing the Paraduma is going to be sequestered for 7 days? How do we arrive at that? So we're going to have a couple of approaches, but today we're limiting ourselves to just the approach of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan's approach is going to go into tomorrow's daf. So today we're just going to start off with Rav Yochanan. So Minan Emili, Amar Rav Minyumi Bar Chilkia, Amar Rav Mechasya Bar Idi, Amar Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara quotes Bishim Rav Yochanan. Amar Krak Hasher Asaba Yamazer Tziva Hashem Lasos Lachaper Aleichem. So over here we're starting with a pasuk in Vayikra Perches, and this has to do with the Shivas Yemei Amiluim. So we last week finished with Parsha Shmini. Shmini is the eighth day of the inauguration of the Mishkan. Now, the eighth day happens to coincide with Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year that the Jews were in the Midbar. All right, they set up the Mishkan over the course of the first year, right? Presumably after Chet HaEgel. Okay, lengthy discussion whether the Mishkan was planned to be built without a Chet HaEgel or wasn't planned to be built, but regardless. In other words, over the course of the first year that the Jews were in the desert, so they built the Mishkan. And then, on the first day of Nisan, of year number two, so that's where the Mishkan was used for the very first day. But that's the eighth day, meaning what happened to the 7 days prior? So that's what's called Shivas Yemei Amiluim. So basically what we're doing is that we are inducting the Mishkan. We're consecrating the Mishkan. There's 7 days of basically preparation of the Mishkan. And the pasuk says, "Kasher asaba yamazeh, tziva Hashem lasos lechaper aleichem." So, and this is now going to serve as a model, just like you did over here by the hachanas hamishkan, by the hakamas hamishkan, where it was 7 days of preparation, followed then by Yom Hashmini, day eight. So that's going to be a model for other occasions. But that's all we got. Meaning the Torah doesn't give us any more information. And now here comes the drashas. So in the pasuk we have the word lasos elamasa paro. So lasos is a reference to paraduma, and lechaper elamasa yom kippurim, and lechaper is a reference to Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara says, okay, it's not much to work with, right? It's lasos for paraduma, it's lechaper for Yom Kippurim. So the Gemara says, look, bishlama kulekra bepar lamatukam. It can't be that this entire pasuk is just making reference to the paraduma, because lechaper ksivu parala bas kapari. Because the word kapara is not shayach for the paraduma. Paraduma is not a kapara. Paraduma creates tahara, but it's not there to atone. Okay, you came into contact with tuma. You're not a chote, especially if you're doing a kvura, you're doing a mitzvah. So you're not a chote. There's no kapara element to tuma. So fine. So it's not shayach to talk about kapara and paraduma. So I know that the whole pasuk over here by the shivas yemei amiluim is not a reference to just paraduma. But Ella Ema Kule Krabi Yama Kippurim Ksiv. But you know what? Why don't you make the following argument? Look, clearly the Torah is telling us that this is going to serve as a prototype for a future sequestering, a future Hachan of Shivas Yamim. But maybe it's just a reference to Yom Kippur. So Amre, so they send the base measure, Shialav Tzivat Tziva. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. But over here we have Xerah Shava. Ksiv Hacha Tziva Hashem Lasosu Ksiv Hasam Zos Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem Lemor. So we have Xerah Shava. Yeah, the word Tziva is used both in conjunction to the Shivas Yemei Amiluim and in connection to the Paraduma. So that is what's called a Gzeres Shava. So the Gemara says, fine, Malahalam Para Afkan Para, fine. So the Gzeres Shava tells us that just like over there at Tziva is used in reference to Paraduma, it's also, that's what must have been referred to in that pasuk regarding Shivas Yemei Amiluim. Umakan Prisha Aflahalam Prisha. Okay. And Shivas Yemei Amiluim, so you had Prisha. The Kohen, by the way, back then was Aaron. So he was sequestered for 7 days. So too now, for Paraduma, through via Gzeres Shava, you're going to be sequestered for 7 days. But parenthetically, and it's not even a parenthetical note, right? How do we know that Aaron was sequestered for 7 days during the Shivas Yemei Amiluim? So the Gemara doesn't make that point clear, but Rashi does. You can see the last Rashi on the Amud. So Kasher Asah B'Miluim Shitziva Oso Lifrosh. So Rashi over here quotes the pasuk. The Gemara doesn't quote it, but right, it's obvious. You have to say this, meaning it's serving as the prototype for this idea of Shivas Yemei Achana. So Rashi quotes Pesach Olamoed Teshu Yomam V'Layla. So the pasuk says that Aaron and presumably his sons as well were sequestered for 7 days, both day and night. Uvishmini Avdu Shenemar V'Yibayam Hashmini Kara Uksiv Krava LeMizbeach. Kasher tziva la'asos l'daros l'fresh zayin lifnei avodas yom echad. So good. So Rashi says you're just simply knowledgeable about the psukim in the end of Parshat Tzav. So you'll know that Aaron was sequestered for 7 days. Good. All right. So what we have now is Gzeira Shava. So the Gemara says ve'ema, as we are now on the top of the Amud Beis, ve'ema tziva. Siva diyama kiporim, dichsiva, yas kasher tziva, Hashem is Moshe. So the Gemara says, okay, gzera shava, using the word siva, you know, we have the word siva also by Yom Kippur. So as much as you want to make a gzera shava to from the Shiva Simei Amaluim to the Paraduma, you could have made a gzera shava and rerouted it to Yom Kippur, where the Torah uses the word siva. Now, we get here often throughout Shas, and this funny place of, so we have Gzeira Shava, maybe you should go in another direction. Maybe you should go in another direction, right? You have Gzeira Shava. You know how you have Gzeira Shava? Only through a Mesorah. Ein Adam Dan Gzeira Shava Me'atzma, Ela Im Ken Kibo Me'rabo. Right? The Gemara says throughout Shas. We don't conjure up Gzeira Shavas. Gzeira Shavas are a Mesorah. So this Gemara suggestion, and it's not uncommon for the Gemara to try to reroute Gzeira Shava. But it's a little bit strange. If you have a Mesorah for Gzeira Shava, so how can you suggest that maybe we should reroute Gzeira Shava? So the answer has to be, and I don't have the Maror Makamos in front of me right now, but Rishonim speak about this. The answer has to be that their Kabbalah of Gzeira Shava was not as firm as we sometimes think. Meaning we think that they had a list of Gzeira Shavas based on specific psukim, and that's it. Obviously, their Mesorah of Gzeira Shava knew that there are certain words which are hyperlinked, right? If you speak that language. So they knew that certain words were hyperlinked. But where they went to, specifically from what to what, so that wasn't firmly as part of the Mesorah. Which is why the Gemara over here makes suggestions of maybe the Gzeira Shava should head in another direction. You have to say something along those lines, otherwise the Gemara is very difficult to understand. Over here suggesting a rerouting of Gzeira Shava. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine, so let's reroute it. So the Gemara says, no, we're not going to reroute it. So, Dunin tziva dilfnei asiya, mitziva dilfnei asiya. Vein dunin tziva dilachar asiya, mitziva dilfnei asiya. Because if you look contextually, the tziva tziva of Shiva Simei Amaluim and Paraduma is just a better gzera shava. Because thematically, the word tziva in both is referring to, this is what we're commanded to do. If you look carefully at the word tziva as it's presented by Yom Kippur, it's over there contextually, it's talking about, and Aaron did what he was supposed to do. So it's just thematically better. So ve'ema tziva de karbanos, the Gemara says, okay, but look, we know we have a gzera shava of tziva from Shiva Simei Amaluim, so the Gemara suggests, well, maybe it's to take us to karbanos tziva by Yom Tzavasos, B'nei Yisrael. So we know that regarding a karbanos in general, Rashi over here says that we're talking specifically about carbon tzibor, but whatever. We know that by karbanos, the Torah uses the word tziva. So why doesn't the gzera shava take us to karbanos? Which, by the way, would lead us to a really strange conclusion. Every kohen is going to shecht a carbon tzibor needs to be sequestered for 7 days prior. So the Gemara says, yeah, I'll tell you why we're not going to do that. Done in tziva, mit tziva, vein done in tzava, so mit tziva. Well, it's not a perfect match. In other words, the tzivas that are connecting Shiva Simei Amaluim to Paraduma, they both are conjugated tzadi vav hey, as opposed to tzavos by karbanos in general, it's conjugated a little bit differently. So the Gemara says, and that really bothers you, my nafkamina. V'atana debei Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara quotes the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, I counted it up, 10 mesechtas and shas, and it's more than that, by the way, because some mesechtas repeat this numerous times. But in 10 mesechtas and shas, we're going to hear this. So this is a common refrain of the Gemara, and that is, v'shava kohen avako, and zehu shiva zuhi bia. Without going through the intricacies of the halacha, so we know that Gzeira Shava was created where one word was shav and the other word was uba, which basically mean the same thing. Since they mean the same thing, so therefore they both can create, it can create a Gzeira Shava. The word doesn't have to be the same word. As long as it means the same thing, you can make a Gzeira Shava. So over here, so tziva tzava so, what's the big deal? So it's not the same word. So the Gemara says, it is the same word, it's not conjugated the same. So So the Gemara says, yeah, but But still, if I have a choice, if I have an option, and the Tziva Tziva is a better match, so we're going to go with the better match. Okay, so fine. So what we have now concluded is Vayik Zereshava, Shivas Yumei Amaluim is connected to Paraduma. Shivas Yumei Amaluim, the Torah says, Beferish, that the that Aaron HaKohen sequestered for 7 days. 7 days of Achana prior to opening day of the Mishkan. So, by Paraduma, same as well. We learned that Vayik Zereshava. Now we're going to go back and say there's a second time in Halacha that sequestering is demanded, and that, of course, is our Masechta, Yuma, Yom HaKippurim. So, Lechaper, Eilu Masa Yom HaKippurim. So now we're up to the next part of Rav Yochanan's Drasha. So, Lechaper is for Yom Kippur. Now, Ve'ema, Kapar de Kabanos. So the Gemara says, okay, but Kapara is a very general term talking about atonement. Could be just talking about Stam Kabanos. Interesting. Rashi over here says that we're talking about Karban Yachid. Right, previously, Kabanos, Rashi says Karban Tzibor. Over here, he says Karban Yachid. I'm sure there's a reason why. I don't have a suggestion right now. Anyway, so the aim of Kapar de Karbanos, Mi Yedi'inan Hai Kon Misrami de Baile Prisha. So the Gemara says, okay, so, you know, when doing the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash in general, so it's not any specific Kohen. So how do I know who's going to be sequestered 7 days prior, that any time he's going to offer a carbon, the Kohen's going to offer a carbon, he's going to be sequestered? So the Gemara says, Amrei, Alam Alam. So the Gemara says, it's not that mysterious. We have a system of which Kohen is going to be serving in the Beis HaMikdash. So Nibai Le'Prisha, Lekuli Mishmeres Beis Av. Because as we know, we just did this in Shkalim, Kohanim are divided into 24 Mishmaros. So you know which week you're working in the Beis HaMikdash. It's even more detailed than that. Because in every Mishmar is divided into 6 Bate Avos. And every Beis Av is going to be assigned a specific day. So you know now which week you're working in the Beis HaMikdash and which day of the week you're working in the Beis HaMikdash, Sunday through Friday. So being that you know already which week and which day, it's not a big ask to go and ask you to sequester 7 days prior to your day. Look, you may not end up doing the avoda on that day. In other words, you're part of a Beis Av, but you can identify which day you're working. It's not that crazy to consider. So the Gemara says, you're right. But dan in davar shekavu lozman, mi davar shekavu lozman, lafuki kabarz dechol yuma isnehu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's better to match it to Yom Kippur. Because consider, the Shivas Yimei Amiluim for the inauguration of the Mishkan, so that was calendaric. It was connected to the calendar. We know that Hakamas HaMishkan came on the first day of Nisan. So it's better to compare it to something which is also calendaric, i.e. Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, fine. Ve'ema Regalim. So the Gemara says, okay, but look, the Torah just simply says the word Lechaper. And you want to tell me that it has to be something calendaric? That's great. Any one of the Yontifs? Right? Couldn't it be any of the other Yamim Tovim? So the Gemara says, "Dan and Davish Noig Pamachas B'Shana, Midavar Noig Pamachas B'Shana, Lafuka Regalim, Dala Pamachas B'Shana Ninu." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but if you're saying it's all the Regalim, no, because Shivas Yemei Amoluim is 7 days preparing for one specific day, so it has to be 7 days of Achana preparing for one specific day." So the Gemara says, "Fine, one specific day, that's fine." Ve'emo Regal Achad. So the Gemara says, "Okay, so one Yantiv." So let's pick a yontif. So the Gemara says, "V'chitem lo yadan haminayu." So the Gemara says, and I know the problem. The problem is it's hard to pick one yontif. Now, icha gamatzas ho pasach ba kasav tchila, and I can give you candidates. First of all, Pesach is a wonderful candidate because it's the first yontif of the year. And icha gasukas ho meruba mitzvaso. On the other hand, I could also give you sukkas as a candidate because sukkas got many mitzvahs. Sukkah has the mitzvah of lulav, sukkah. Rashi also goes over Arava, Nisuch HaMayim. So there are many mitzvahs on Sukkah. So the Gemara says, fine. So the problem is we don't know which one to choose. So Ela Dan and Prisha Shiva Liyom Echad, Mi Prisha Shiva Liyom Echad. V'ein Dan and Prisha Shiva L'Shivas, Mi Prisha Shiva Liyom Echad. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Yom Kippur is the best match. And I'll tell you why. Because as opposed to all the other Yantos, meaning Pesach and Sukkos, so it's a 7-day affair. I know Sukkos is an 8-day affair. But we'll come back to that. But there are a 7-day affair. So what we're looking for is that if our prototype is Shivas Yemei Amaluim, that's 7 days of Hachana for opening day. So it's 7 in preparation to 1 day. So now what we're looking to translate that to is a Yontif where it's 7 days preparing for 1 day. So if I choose Pesach or if I choose Sukkos, they're both 7 days. It's not a match. The Emash, meaning the Precious Shiva Yom Echad, who... So the Gemara says, fine. So maybe it's the maybe it's Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres, which is basically it would be preparation of 7 days for 1 day, right? Shmini Atzeres is 1 day, and wouldn't that be a match? So the Gemara says, "Dan and Davar Shein Kedusha Lafanav, Midavar Shein Kedusha Lafanav, Vein Dan and Davar Sheish Kedusha Lafanav, Midavar Shein Kedusha Lafanav." The Gemara says it's not a good match because Shmini Atzeres has what before it? 7 days of Sukkos. Those 7 days have Kedusha. So it's not a good match. Meaning the Shivas Yimei Amiluim, which is our standard. So that's 7 days of Hachana. What are those 7 days? They're 7 days, 7 weekdays, or 7 regular days, bringing us to the 8th day of Kedusha, of the Hakamas HaMishkan. So we want something that models that. That, of course, would be Yom Kippur. The 7 days in preparation for Yom Kippur, the Yemei Chol. I know we call Maseres Yemei Tshuva, but when all said and done, the Yemei Chol. So it's a better match, as opposed to Shmini Atzeres, where the 7 days before that are 7 days of Kedusha. V'lav kal v'chomer, who the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you what, I can make an argument. Hashda, davashayin kedusha lafanav by prisha, davashayish kedusha lafanav lo kol shekein. Okay, the argument, it's hard for me to fully understand the argument, but the argument of the Gemara is that, look, if there's no Kedusha in front of it, and for that I need Achana, Shmini Atzeres, which has 7 days of Kedusha in front of it, for sure I need Achana. I'm going to be honest, I don't...
It could be,
and again, our models is Shivas Yimei Amiluim. It's hard to really understand the Kal V'chomer of the Gemara over here, meaning if you have already 7 days of Kedusha, could argue just the opposite, and you're now in a state of Kedusha. You don't need that extra Achana. You know, when we transition from we just did this. When we transition from Yom Tov to Shabbos, so we don't do Kabbal Shabbos, right? We don't need all that Achana going into Shabbos. We're coming off of a day of Kedusha. So we go in our davening. I know it's just a reflection, but davening is a reflection. So in our davening, we just go straight from Mincha to Maariv, and we don't have Kabbalah Shabbos. We're in a state of Kedusha. So it's a little bit difficult for me to fully understand the Kal V'chomer, but still, the Gemara wants to argue. So Amar of Misharsha, lo hazeh ksiv bazeh. So the Gemara says, as far as the drasha is concerned, kasher asa bayom hazeh. So you don't have that by Shmini Atzeres. So since you don't have that by Shmini Atzeres, so Shmini Atzeres cannot be what we are learning from the Shivas Yimei Amiluim. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar, mi ika mi de ika rego lo bai prisha, and tafel di de bai prisha. Rav Ashi is just really responding to the Kal V'chomer. Rav Ashi says, look, let's go back to our suggestion, right? What's the day that I need 7 days of Hachana? So the Gemara puts on the table Shmini Atzeres. Rav Ashi says, no. If for Sukkos, I don't need Hachana. So for Shmini Atzeres, which is just really an attachment to Sukkos. So for that, I'm going to need Hachana. Rav Ashi says that just, it's untenable. V'afil amanda amar Shmini Regel b'fnei atzmo. And Rav Ashi anticipates, and he says, I know what you're going to say. That what Shmini Atzeres is a Regel b'fnei atzmo. It's its own independent day. So the Gemara says, no. Regel b'fnei atzmo hu hani mili le'inyan pazar kashav. Yeah, in six aspects, Shmini Atzeres has its own identity. But that's just six aspects. Meaning, but when all said and done, what is Shmini Atzeres? It's the 8th day of Sukkos. So, yes, there are certain details in which Shmini Atzeres has its own independent identity. But as a whole, it's Shmini Atzeres. Avalin and Tashlum and Tashlum and Derishon Hu. But you know, if you're going to be making up a carbon, meaning every yontif we have carbonas that we need to bring. When we get to Chagiga, we're going to be discussing this in detail. The Shami Chagiga, the Olas Re'ia, the Shami Simcha. So, and you weren't Chogeg, and you didn't bring your carbonos on day one. You should have brought it on day one. You didn't bring it on day one, fine, so bring it on day two. You didn't bring it on day two, bring it on day three. You have every day of Yontif to make it up. And the halacha is, Shmini Atzeres, you can make up your carbonos that you didn't bring on Sukkos. It's a Mishnah. The Gemara quotes it. The Hatanam, we're on top of Gimel Amud Aleph. Mishlo Chag B'yom B'yom Tov Rishon Shochag Chogig V'Olech Chol Arega Kulo V'yom Tov Achron Shochag. You can make up your carbonos for Yontov on any day of Sukkos, including Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is still going to be a makeup day. What does that tell us about Shmini Atzeres? Shmini Atzeres is really the end of Sukkos. So now we're back to Rav Ashi's argument. If for Sukkos I don't need Hachana, so then you mean to tell me that for the last day of Sukkos I'm going to need Hachana? Just untenable. Okay. What we're going to do tomorrow morning is that I ran right over that Gemara that talked about the six elements in which Shmini Atzeres is a regal bifnei atzma. But it's in tomorrow's daf, and the Rishonim discussed in tomorrow, Rashi Tosfos. So I'll save that for tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, first thing we'll do is we'll talk about Shmini Atzeres is a regal bifnei atzma. Quick recap of today. First Mishnah of the Masechta talked about the Kohen Gadol needing, requiring to sequester himself 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. He's going to go into Lishkas Parhedrin. They're gonna have a Kohen Gadol standing there in the bullpen. I'm not a Kohen Gadol, but a Kohen standing there in the bullpen. In the event that something happens to our Kohen Gadol, Rav Yehuda says we're also going to prepare a wife in the bullpen as well. The Chachamim say no. We don't have to worry that much. That's Choshesh Lamisa. We're not Choshesh Lamisa. Good. That's the Mishnah. So what we did over today's daf is the following. The Gemara tells us that the Yom Kippur requires Shivas Yimei Afrasha. Para Aduma requires Shivas Yimei Afrasha. We went through a couple of Mishnahs today in Masechta Para that tells us that this is also true by Para Aduma. Minaha Nimili, where's the source of these halachas? So nowhere in the Torah does it talk about the Shivas Yimei Afrasha, neither for Yom Kippur nor for Para Aduma. So right now we're in the approach of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says it's learned from Shivas Yimei Amiluim. Shivas Yimei Amiluim, where there is Shivas Yimei Afrasha for Aaron and his sons, and that's going to be serving as a model for both Yom Kippur and Paraduma. So how do I know that? It's encrypted in the Torah. The Torah by Shivas Yimei Amiluim says, "Kasher asa b'yom hazeh, tziva Hashem lasos lechaper aleichem." And so the word lasos is a reference to Paraduma, and lechaper is a reference to Yom Kippur. The Gemara for the remainder of today's daf try to entertain that maybe there are other things that the pasuk is making reference to, and one by one we rejected all the other suggestions. Of course, we're going to reject them, meaning we know that's the halacha, but the Gemara goes over reasons why we reject other possible candidates.